lift your head, we'll be sinners. The river's just a Another Tuesday is here. That means it's time for us to be on the radio. Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. So glad that you're listening this evening. Tonight we're going to do a couple things. One of those, though, we're going to start at dealing with the heaviness of struggles and things that can happen. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because I'm going to let you see behind the curtain a little bit of what goes on at Hope Resource Center. So we are a medical institution, a medical clinic, but we're also a really close-knit staff. And so when things happen with our families, when things happen outside the walls, it kind of amplifies the things that happen inside the walls. And then it can seem a bit overwhelming. It can seem a bit difficult to deal with. And so we're going to talk about that. I'm also going to share a story with you, just an amazing story of God's faithfulness and what He is doing through our staff and through your prayers and your gifts and through Hope Resource Center. And just, I'll get to that here in a little while, but I want to share that story. Then we're going to talk about our golf tournament coming up and just a number of things that's coming up this fall for Hope Resource Center. So, but first, again, I want to start with how do we deal with heaviness? Okay. So, and when I say that is just things from the outside that weigh heavy on us. And so at Hope Resource Center the last couple weeks, we have seen a number of, probably double digits, abortion-minded patients. And I know that abortion-vulnerable, abortion-minded, may not make complete sense to you. But in the pregnancy center world, what that means is, every patient that we see, we kind of get a gauge of where they're at. Are they abortion-vulnerable? Are they abortion-minded? Are they prepared to parent? Are they excited about their pregnancy? Are they indifferent about their pregnancy? Are they sad about their pregnancy? Are they in shock? And so the list goes on and on. And so as we have conversations with them, we kind of get a sense of where we believe they may be. And when we say that a patient is abortion-minded, that means that they are coming in almost set, hey, I'm going to get an abortion. I need some free services, but I'm going to ultimately get an abortion. When we say abortion vulnerable, that just means they're really on the fence. They don't know where they're at. They're not prepared to say they're going to carry the baby to term. They might have had an abortion in their past, and so they've already been there once, and so there's a chance that they could do that again. And so the last couple of weeks, we have seen a number of abortion-minded. So that means people coming in very much with a mindset of, I'm leaning toward abortion. We saw a patient, I told our staff, I don't want anyone to choose abortion. But when that choice is made, you kind of think that you'll see tears and sadness and weeping and a real struggle with that decision, because that is a very difficult decision to make. We had a patient come in the other day and we didn't see that. And it was really rough to watch as we saw kind of a flippant nature about it, and just like, yeah, I mean, we're going to, I think I'm going to go get an abortion, then we're going to go have dinner. It was kind of that flippant. And that's hard to see. That's hard to fathom, and it's hard to watch. And so that's not, we hardly ever see that, but every now and then we do see that. Well, the last couple of weeks, we've also had some staff members at Hope deal with some family issues. And I'm not going to go into those, but when I say family issues, I mean heart-wrenching, bring you to your knees, like stomach-turning type issues that you wouldn't wish on your worst enemy, those type of family issues. So we've had that. We've also had staff members that are sending their firstborns off to college. So they've had a house full of kids, and now their kids are moving off to college. Or we've had some, like me, who sending their firstborn to kindergarten and just coming to grips with, oh, my kids are going to school now. And so all of that comes together, and what that does is that creates an overwhelming situation. It creates a situation where we don't really know how to deal with that. We're all believers, and we all trust God is a sovereign God. We all trust God is engaged and knows what's going on, that none of this surprises Him. Even in the chaos, even in the struggles, even in that overwhelming gut-turning struggle, we know that God isn't surprised by that. But it still hurts, and it's still difficult to deal with. And so as we were going through that, What we also know is when we do that, or when we find ourselves in those situations, we tend to stretch ourselves thin. Because most of us, if not all of us, you know, not just at Hope, but around this community, we're pouring everything we have into our jobs. We're then going home and pouring everything we have into our family. And then maybe we're really involved in church, so we're pouring everything we have into our church. Or maybe you're the class mom or the team mom, and you're pouring everything into your child's sports activities. Or maybe they're into dance, and you're pouring everything into there, and you just are being pulled in so many different directions. And what does that do? That means you are being stretched. I think of Stretch Armstrong, a toy when I was a kid, where you could just stretch him and stretch him and stretch him. What does that do? Even though it stretches far, it makes it thin. And so what we have to understand is we are stretching and stretching and stretching, and then we are thinning ourselves out. And so when we thin ourselves out, that opens up holes. And that opens up holes for the enemy to attack. And that's what we're going to talk about when we come back. So stay tuned as we deal with the heaviness of everything. And then I want to share a story with you that's just going to blow your mind and just open up the floodgates to the joy that we have in our Lord. Hey, we're back. It's Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. So we started the show off tonight talking about the heaviness that sometimes we feel, the heaviness we feel at work, and when we compound all that at work along with the things going on at home and at church and at the ball field and at dance recital and all of those things. And so what that tends to do is make us overwhelmed. What that tends to do is stretch us. And then when we're stretched, we stretch ourselves too thin, that then holes start to come open, right? And so when those holes happen, the enemy can attack. And so, you know, this is what I told our staff. I said, I know life can be tough and that the enemy will attack us when we are stretched thin as he sees an opening. So what we need to know and what we need to do is pray. We need to pray daily for each other. And a lot of times what we find ourselves is the people that we work with, we see as an extended family. So when our extended family hurts, we hurt. When our extended family faces struggles, we struggle. So then we have to look to what God has for us. Then we have to come together locking arms and knowing that even though we are in a very overwhelming moment and a struggle, that we still hold tight to what God has for us. Now, I wish I could tell you that all will be well and that all the struggles will cease in the coming days or months, but I can't. I can tell you, though, that God is present and active. I can tell you that our work at Hope and that your work in your homes is making a great difference in the life of others. God is using us and using you to be the hands and feet. So when problems arise and struggles become clear, we are in this together. There are people that are willing and able to pray with you, cry with you, and laugh with you. So the reason I bring that up is because at Hope Resource Center, we are doing work that the enemy seeks to attack. We are doing work that the enemy seeks to destroy. Why? Because we're doing kingdom work. And we know that the enemy is seeking to kill and destroy things that are of God. And so what that means is I'm just going to ask you, if you listen to this show, would you commit to pray for our staff? Would you commit to praying for our patients? And I don't mean flippantly. I don't mean one of those, yeah, I'll pray for you, and then you never do. We've all been there. But I'm saying actually spending time in prayer, not just for Hope. And it sounds almost selfish or arrogant that I would be asking that. But there's 2,500 plus pregnancy centers around this country doing this work. Would you pray for us? Would you pray for life? Would you pray for our patients? We toured two people yesterday at our facility who run a pregnancy center in China. Now, they can't do that in an open format the way we do that here. But you know there's an estimated 23 million abortions in China every single year? There's a million estimated in America. 23 million in China every single year. Would you pray for that pregnancy center in China and the work that they're doing? And I'm hoping that we can partner with them and that we can help equip them and prepare them for what they have ahead of them. But would you please pray for us? Now, I know that heaviness can at times be overwhelming. And it is in this time that we run to the only one that can take that heaviness away. The one that said, "He knew me and you before this first star was put in the sky." Now think about that truth. Before the foundations of the earth was laid, he had us on his mind. So when we find ourselves in chaos, when we find ourselves in struggle, when we find ourselves hurting, rest in the truth that God is not gone. He didn't turn his head. He's still engaged. He's still involved. And then listen to this text out of Isaiah. Isaiah 43:2 says this, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you." Now, we're going to have tough days. We're going to have struggles. We're going to sin. We're going to fail. We're going to mess up. But when those days come, we have something so much greater, so much stronger, so much more powerful than that struggle. We have one that says he can take the heaviness away. We have one that says, "Cast your burdens on me." We have one that went to the cross. We have an empty tomb. We don't need to live as if that tomb is still full, right? So I think sometimes we do. We live as if Jesus is just wandering around that tomb, or even worse, that he's still dead. But the fact is that tomb is empty. And so that is the truth that we have. And so has the last couple of weeks been difficult? Yes. Have the last couple of weeks at Hope Resource Center been exhausting? Absolutely. Is that overwhelming time over with? No. No, it is. We have staff members that are still struggling, that are still going. And what that means is all of us are struggling. All of us are exhausted. We don't know what the outcomes of these situations are going to be. But we do know the one that knows the outcomes. And so we trust in that. And we celebrate that. And so even in the midst of the rough patches that we're seeing in our families and the rough patches that we're seeing with these abortion-minded patients, we have stories like this one where a patient came to us and then today we got to see that God is truly active and involved in what we do. And I'm going to read it because I wrote it down and I want you to understand what your support, your prayers, your funds, what that allows us to do at Hope Resource Center. So the work we do at Hope goes beyond the interaction in the room with our patients. Oftentimes, we follow up with our patients to check on them and to offer assistance. Our detractors like to paint pro-lifers as hateful extremists. But in reality, we are broken people seeking to love broken people. We just want our patients to know that they have someone here that cares for them and is available to talk, listen, or serve. These follow-ups are commonplace in the pregnancy center world. We truly care about our patients and desire to see their needs met and for them to know that someone is thinking about and praying for them. We understand the complexities and the issues many of them are facing, and we want to offer encouragement. We do this regardless of what their decision might have been while they were in our building. We do not offer judgment. Instead, we offer love and kindness regardless of what circumstances they may find themselves in. Today, one of our nurses looked at her notes and saw scribbled down in the bottom, quote, "In 2 weeks on 8:30. Now, this was a simple note that she had left for herself, reminding her to reach out to a patient that visited Hope for an ultrasound a couple weeks ago. Hope's staff nurse decided this morning that her follow-up phone call should happen after lunch today. She didn't know what to expect from this phone call. The patient was very tearful at her last visit, and she had not made up her mind on carrying to term just yet. This nurse knew that and didn't want to come off as pushy. She simply wanted to take time to encourage and show this patient that she cared about her and that our staff was here if she needed anything. Our nurse reached this patient by phone today. She reintroduced herself and asked how the patient was doing. The patient took her time in responding as there was a couple seconds of awkward pause. The patient then said, quote, "It is really funny that you called me today." She then went further, explaining that she had a medical abortion scheduled for today. This conversation is not uncommon. Many of our patients are struggling and truly feel that abortion is their only option. They are facing obstacles at every turn and believe this is just another one in their long line of struggles. Thankfully, our staff is well equipped and prepared for these conversations, and our nurse didn't flinch and offered love. This patient had made it further than most. She actually made it inside the walls of an abortion clinic to have an abortion. Most that make it that far will follow through with what they had planned. Our nurse knows that, so she didn't push. She waited for the patient to tell her story. This is what our nurse heard on the other end of the line. Quote, "I couldn't go through with it. I was prepared, but I couldn't go through with it. I just left." Those words bring so much joy to my heart. Do you understand what that means? A life was saved today. A life was spared. Our nurse offered this patient encouragement and said that we were here for her no matter what. We are here to listen or provide services. The patient told of the stern discussion that followed at the abortion clinic when she said she couldn't follow through with the abortion. This sternness usually makes these patients retreat, but this patient was not one to retreat. She walked out, I'm sure, uneasy and unsettled, not knowing what this might mean for her. She walked out not knowing what her next step might be. Her window for a medical abortion is closing fast, leaving only surgical options. She was in tears and confused of her next step. Did she make the right decision? Is she going to have a baby? Did she simply prolong the inevitable? Questions that tear at the heart were met with a follow-up and a person that cared. These questions were met with a kind voice on the other end of the line, offering support. We praise God for follow-ups. We praise God for scribbled notes reminding us to reach out to a patient in need. And we praise God for patients that walk out of abortion clinics. You see, so that is why we do what we do at Hope. So all the past couple weeks and all the brokenness that we have seen. And wouldn't you know that a patient from a couple weeks ago shares her story to one of our nurses and joy comes. Now, she doesn't have her mind made up. She doesn't know completely if she's going to carry to term or not. But what we do know is there was victory today. What we do know is a patient walked out of an abortion clinic. What we do know is a life was spared. What we do know is one of our nurses followed up like she said she was going to and loved on this patient. So many of our patients have been promised things and seen those promises broken over and over and over again. But what this patient saw was one of our nurses say, "I'm going to get back with you in a couple weeks. Is that okay?" And what happened? In a couple weeks, our nurse got back to her. And our nurse wasn't there to judge. We knew fully that she could have already had an abortion. But that phone call wasn't meant to judge. That phone call wasn't meant to bring shame. That phone call wasn't meant to hurt. That phone call was simply a follow-up to see how someone was doing. The rest is just icing on the cake. And so what this patient knows, you see, our nurse just had a feeling in her gut, I need to call after lunch. Well, this patient's abortion was scheduled before lunch. So now what this patient knows is, I could have had an abortion this morning, but I didn't. And I needed encouragement. And you know, I'm amazed at the cleanliness. I'm amazed at the love that was shown to me. I'm amazed at your facility. I'm amazed at all of that. And 2 weeks ago, I didn't know to appreciate that. But today I know. And so when we find ourselves stretched thin and we see those holes, it's stories like this that bring us back where we need to be. It's stories like this that will get us up tomorrow morning to do it all over again. It's stories like this that we'll look back to when that patient walks out flippantly and goes and gets an abortion. Because we know. We know that God is engaged and involved, and we know that He's put us here for a reason. He's put us here for a purpose. And that purpose is to love and serve men and women in crisis. Not to judge, not to be bitter, not to be angry, but to meet them where they're at and say, you have value. That I'm going to tell you, I'm going to get back with you in a couple weeks, and guess what? I'm going to do that. I'm going to write a note to myself that says, I'm going to reach back out. Regardless of what your decision may be, I just want you to know that you matter and that I care about you. That's what you allow us to do. Through your gifts, through your prayers, through your support, you allow us to open up our doors and love the men and women in this community. Because, folks, it really is broken people seeking to love and serve broken people. I mean, we do not have it all together. We have struggles. We may or may not have a swear jar. And so understand that when we seek to love and serve these broken people, that we're broken ourselves. Yet God grabbed a hold of us. And so we are willing to go the extra mile for those in need here in this community. And we do that with your help. We'll be back in a sec.
Head home on the highway. Lock us in on the Joy 620 Drive at 5. You are more than the choices that you've
made. You are more than the sum of past mistakes. Hey, we're back. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Thank you so much for listening this afternoon. You know, in a couple days, it's UT football again here in Knoxville. And so I'm not going to talk about that, but I just wanted to put that out there, that that's a big deal. So I jokingly posted on Facebook today that I'm taking a sabbatical from political news and politics and all of that, and because college football is back, and we need to be celebrating the fact that the Vols are back. They're in the top 10, and some are even saying they may make it to the playoff this year, and who knows what could happen from there. So that's an exciting time. Another thing exciting, talking about football, is last week, we had Battle of the Bottles between Grace Christian and CAK, Christian Academy in Knoxville. We've been doing this for seven or so years, and over that time period, Grace and CAK have raised over $100,000 by filling baby bottles with change and dollars and checks and everything. So this past weekend, this past Friday night, Grace and CAK played. It was a really good game. CAK edged it out at the end. But they raised, between Grace and CAK, this is elementary all the way to high school, so kindergarten all the way to 12th grade, they raised right at $17,000 in baby bottles. Now think about that. That is ridiculous. It is amazing what God can do through these young people. All we do at Hope is we provide a couple thousand bottles, and then the schools take it over. And these kids take it over, and their parents take it over, because, you know, these kids aren't writing checks for $500 and those type things. So the parents are definitely involved as well. But what that does, it's amazing what can happen when young people decide and get behind a mission. And so we were able to stand on that field Friday night. Some of our staff members with administration from Grace and CAK and some cheerleaders and different things. And we were able to stand there and say, because of you, because of your stance for life, we were able to raise right at $17,000. And that money will allow Hope to continue the work that we're doing. It will allow us to continue the ultrasounds. to continue the pregnancy test, to continue the STD testing and treatment, and continue to serve and provide baby showers and parenting classes that are going on right now as I speak. So we're able to do all of those things because people stand for life, because people see the value in life. And so it's an amazing opportunity. I got to share that with my son. My son is 5. And so Gavin wanted to go to the football game with me. He got to go out on the field with me. Because I want him to understand at a very early age that life is valuable. Every life. Those that are in the womb, those that are outside of the womb. I want my kids to see that. I want them to know what their daddy does for a living. I want them to know how mom and daddy feel about life and how we feel about pregnancy and how we feel about our community. And so if you're listening today and your child goes to Grace or CAK and you helped in that fundraiser, then we thank you and we appreciate you. I'm from the bottom of my heart, I'm constantly in awe of what God allows us to be a part of and how he continues to show us his gracious hand. I mean, it is just mind-boggling that we get to see that. Because as I said, we're broken. But yet he shows up. But yet he does the work. And then in all that overwhelming sense that we felt over the last couple weeks, and all the things that are going on inside of our walls and outside of our walls at Hope Resource Center, we then get to see God show up. Not like he ever left. I mean, he didn't leave. But we get to see the fundraiser, the $17,000. We get to hear the story of the patient today that walked out of an abortion clinic. Folks, y'all understand how big of a deal that is. I mean, I wish you don't understand. I was weeping at my desk today as I wrote down the story. And the reason is because it is truly why we do what we do. There's not many folks that walk into an abortion clinic and walk out still pregnant. Or at least with something that's going to make them not be pregnant very soon after. And so the fact that one walked in there and was then set down and had a tough discussion telling her, you know, you don't have much time. You're about to be past the time for a medical abortion, and the only option you're going to have is surgical. Again, trying to press the hey, you need to do this now. Not sitting down with her and saying, we know this is a difficult decision, and it shouldn't be one that you make flippantly. You may need to think about it. But instead saying, hey, you only have X amount of days, X amount of weeks. You know how hard it is for that patient then to get up and walk out of there? But it happened today. That is victory. That is victory. And so we celebrate that fact. But again, the reason why we do the Battle of the Bottles, the reason why we have the golf tournament, the reason why we do these things is because we know that this work saves lives. We know that our nurses having these conversations and these relationships with the patients, when they say, hey, I'll get back with you in a couple weeks, and they get back with them in a couple weeks, those things matter. That patient needed encouragement today, and it came from where? It came from a place that she visited 2 weeks ago from a person that she doesn't really even know, except for one time that they met. That's what love is. That is pro-life. So being pro-life means that when you write down on your notes, call this person in 2 weeks, knowing that that person may have an abortion, but you're going to call them anyway, not to judge, but to say, I'm here for you. Regardless of what decision you made, I'm here for you. That's pro-life. And that is why I wanted to share that story with you today. Because as we stretch ourselves so thin, we hear stories like that and we start to come back together. We see ourselves locking arms tighter and saying, this work is too valuable. These people, these patients are too valuable. The babies inside the womb are too valuable not to continue this work. And so then we call out for you to join us. And you have. And you've met that call and you've met that challenge over and over and over again. And I just want you to know we don't take that for granted. We do not take that for granted. We love the local church. I sent out 200 plus letters yesterday to local churches around town. Why? Because I want them to partner with us. But because I also want to partner with them. That's the bride. That is what it's about. That is the church. That's the kingdom. Let's go and make disciples. But that happens outside the walls of our church building as well. So how can we facilitate that? How can we help? That's why I'll be co-teaching, co-preaching with the pastor at Shoreline in a couple weeks as we deal with the topic of abortion. And what does the Bible say about life? What should our lives as Christians say about the pro-life stance? What should our words say to the pro-life stance? How do we model that? That's why we partner with folks. It isn't to just push an agenda. It isn't just to push a narrative. It isn't just to see legislation change. All those things are good. But ultimately, it's to see hearts transformed, disciples made. And ultimately, life to be celebrated. And so we had the Battle of the Bottles last week, and coming up on September 26th, we have the golf tournament. Again, to raise money so that we can keep doing what we're doing at Hope Resource Center. That is why we do it. I've said it before on here. Fundraising is not our goal, but it is a vehicle that is used to reach our goal and to fulfill our mission and to serve the moms and dads of this community. And so that we can have those conversations with women that just walked out of an abortion clinic. So that is why we do what we do. And so if you want to learn more about the golf tournament, please go to the website, investinghope.com/events. And there is information about the golf tournament. You can still sign up. It's filling up fast, but we still have slots available. Every player will receive a player gift. You'll be fed breakfast. You'll be fed lunch and snacks and water. I'll be driving around with some of the staff on the golf cart, giving out snacks and waters and drinks, Coke and different things like that, so that you can continue your golf game and eat and have fun all at the same time. And then we'll have door prizes. And the door prizes are pretty amazing. And then the winners will get certain things and all of that. So it's a great time, teams of four. So join us. You can get all that information on our website, again, investinghope.com/events. We want to see you out there as we stand for life and celebrate what God is allowing us to do. And so that's why we want to raise the funds there. Also coming up, we're going to be entering into our Life Matters Prayer Initiative. And so what that looks like is we're going to be praying. That's not a fundraiser. That is just saying, hey, we are in need of prayer. Our country needs prayer. Our staffs need prayer. Abortion clinics need to be prayed over. Patients need to be prayed over. And so we're going to do that. We already have some folks in China that's going to be praying with us. We have someone in Oregon that's going to be praying with us. And I hope that we can get someone in every single state represented and praying with us. We'll talk more when we come back here. And we're back. We're back to wrap up the show. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. As we end today, the one thing that I want to leave you with is just understand that even in times of chaos, even in times when we feel overwhelmed, even in times of heaviness, that God is there. God is present and He's involved. And so we can lean in and lean on Him. And so we need to understand that. And I would appreciate your prayers for what we're doing at Hope Resource Center and for the staff and for our patients. And one way to do that is coming up in October, we're going to have a Life Matters Prayer Initiative where we, We're getting together with people from all over the country and all over the world to pray specifically for pregnancy centers, for our patients, for abortion clinics, for those that work in those abortion clinics. Because we can meet that with anger and hate and hostility, or we can seek to see hearts transformed in those clinics. And when hearts are transformed, people will walk away. And we are seeing more and more walk away every single day. And the goal is, if we offer up services that are better, which is what we do at Hope Resource Center, and we have facilities that are better, because what we continue to hear from our patients is, I can't believe how clean your place is, which seems like a low bar to set. I can't believe how welcoming your staff were. Everyone was nice. Everyone loved me. You offered me a water. You offered me a Gatorade. You offered me a snack. Why do we do those things? We do those things because we want them to understand there's something better out there for them. We want them to understand that they have value and that they matter to us. Why do we throw almost 50 baby showers a year? Because we want them to understand that they matter. Not just their baby. Their baby certainly matters, but so do they. How many abortion clinics are having 50 baby showers a year? They're not. And if they were, it would be all over the news. That's how I know they're not. You see, we are pro-life, but we understand people make choices. And so because we understand that, we're going to still seek to serve. And we're going to let them know, hey, if you decide to have this baby, which we would love to see that, you're not going to be alone. We're going to help you. We're going to provide a mentor. We're going to provide classes. We're going to provide a baby shower. You're going to have the things that you need. And you're going to have a support system. We got an email today from a former patient that said, I just wanted to give you an update. Here's a picture of my baby born in July. He is perfect. And I just want to thank you for being the first ones to tell me that I was pregnant. Think about that. Celebrating their child and looking back and saying, and Hope was the first one to tell me. That's why we're there, folks. That's why we want you to stand with us. That's why we want you to support us. It's because these men and women are finding themselves in crisis. And if we're not there, if pregnancy centers like us are not there, where are they going to go? And the answer to that question is disturbing. And so we want them to have a place that is welcoming, that is warm and inviting, that is clean, that is loving. That's why we open our doors at Hope. And we thank you for helping us do that every single day. We'll talk to you soon. Lift your head, weary sinner. The river's just ahead. Down the path of forgiveness, salvation's waiting.